Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer period. If you'd like to ask a question at that time, please press star then one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the meeting over to Mr. Brad Willard. You may begin.
Hi, thanks a lot. Thanks, everyone out there, for joining us either live or on the replay. We've got a lot to cover today, and we've got about an hour to do it, so the plan is to try and get through the content in about 45 or 50 minutes and leave 10 or 15 minutes for some question and answer discussion. What we're going to be talking to you guys about today is our general strategy around our monitoring portfolio for 2010, where we're focusing priorities, some of the new features, functions we're looking at driving for this year. We're also going to talk about the various delivery mechanisms available for the monitoring technology, so the traditional enterprise license, which you should all be familiar with, as well as the appliance model, the foundation, and the Tivoli Live or SaaS delivery mechanism that we launched, both of those late last year. So given the time constraints, we won't be able to dig down into a super deep level of detail on this stuff, but we want to make sure you're aware of what we're doing, where we're going, what we're thinking, and hopefully get some of your feedback at the end. If we're unable to cover everything that you're interested in, or if there's adjacency areas that you want to get into, I'd recommend that you contact me offline. And again, this is Brad Willard, bwillard@us.ibm.com, and we can set up some further discussions around that. Real quick, if you look at the slides that we have, I just want to talk to slide two very quickly. Everything that we're sharing with you is our plans as of today. We're not making any formal committing to dates, to delivering features in specific releases, but we think it's important for you to know what we're looking at and where our priorities are so that you can plan accordingly and set up your marketing and sales campaigns around that. So you might want to look through that slide, too, in a little bit more detail, but basically we're sharing this with you so you have advance notice of what we are intending to do, but nothing in this slide deck is necessarily a commitment to actually do that at a given time or a given release. So with that, I'll turn it over to Adrian Mitu. He's going to talk to you about the high-level strategy. He'll be working with Marvin Goodman. We'll talk about the delivery mechanisms, and then we'll all be online at the end for the Q&A. So, Adrian, take it away.
All right. Thank you, Brad, and good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to everyone, depending on where you are in the world. Starting at slide three, this is something that most of you probably would have seen, so I won't spend much time here. I wanted to put the application performance management portfolio in context of sort of a bit larger space of that of availability and performance management, and as a reminder that it's all about delivering quality business services and ensuring that level of service to the business, and there are solutions around that from IBM around TBSM. There are solutions around consolidated operational management, namely Omnibus, and so that also interact with APM, and we'll actually talk about this a bit later in the presentation. And application performance management is really focused on understanding the performance of applications, the end-user perspective, and helping your customers, A, understand that performance, and B, diagnose it as needed. And that's largely in the bottom part of this chart. Let's spend a bit more time on chart four, however. So as we look at application performance management, it encompasses several disciplines. And I'll spend a bit of time on each one of them, and then we'll see how IBM's offerings here help. So sort of starting from the top, discovery is one of the most elemental and one of the first things that we tell our customers to do. So they need to understand, first of all, what needs to get managed. And discovery is, you know, as you know, we have offerings there. They may choose to use IBM's offerings, and of course we want them to do that. They may have something else in-house, but it's essential that we communicate to our customers that they need to understand what they have, how various components interact with each other, and understand the configurations and how those configurations change over time for all of the monitored elements. The next one, sort of going clockwise around this chart, end-user performance. That is, of course, one of the first things that they do, maybe along with discovery or immediately afterwards. And that discipline is around understanding what the end users of the applications are experiencing from an availability and performance perspective. As you know, there are two ways of doing that, and one is to look at real end user performance and really monitor what the users of the applications are seeing. And the other one is to do it robotically and by capturing and playing back transactions and mapping those. There are advantages and disadvantages to both, and most customers that I have seen implement a mixture of both, just because you need to, A, measure and prove your SLAs, and those are typically tied to real end-user transactions, and B, you need to make sure that you have a stable benchmark and understand transactions that may not be exercised by end users all the time, and you need to make sure that those are up and running as well, and therefore you need the synthetic or robotic transactions. So that's of course part of the portfolio. Keeping on clockwise here, transaction tracking is about understanding where those transactions that you monitor from an end user perspective, where those transactions are spending their time in the IT infrastructure. So understanding the transactional topology, the paths that they take through to the various systems and subsystems, and how much time you spend on each one of them. That is a crucial element and a big growth area in this market. So it is crucial because as you look at just plain monitoring, you may have any number of things being read on the screen at any time, but it is hard to relate which one of those are really relevant in the context of a service that is misbehaving. So if you monitor from an end-user perspective and you see something read on the screen, are those two things related or not? Transaction tracking solves that problem by actually telling you what is on the transactional path and where you have the bottlenecks, and it really helps with isolation. But that's a high-level message there, and it is a lot of customers are focused today on end-user performance and transaction tracking. Availability and performance has to do with, just as its name implies, understanding the performance characteristics and availability of individual applications. And that feeds, in turn, into some of the other things that the customers do, like tracking transactions, for example, or higher-level dashboards on application availability. Typically, that level of monitoring is not an end-user perspective, but more of an application or infrastructure-based perspective where you see individual databases, app servers, message brokers, what have you, operating systems and so on, and their availability and performance. Diagnostics gets that's an area that helps customers. Once you've isolated where you might have an issue, diagnostics helps you really pinpoint the problem to with a finer degree of accuracy, if you will. So application performance issues are typically solved in one of two ways. Either there is a shortage of some kind of a resource, which means you can provision around that problem, either allocate more disk space, more memory, you bring another server online, and so on, or there is an application logic problem, which means perhaps the application is not doing garbage collection properly, not releasing memory, maybe there's some deadlock occurring, so on and so forth. That level of problems you cannot provision around. So that's where diagnostics come in, and the set of technologies there provide basically debugger-level functionality, but in a production environment. So that is again, an essential area of performance management. Services management deals more with tying all of these into a services view of the world and how we deliver those services to the end users, again, with all of the relevant components underneath and presenting it perhaps to a dashboard like a TBSM or something like that. But those are the elements of application performance management, whether they get done with IBM tools or others. Of course, you want to get done with IBM tools, but they're essential to a successful APM implementation. If we go to chart five, the characteristics of Tivoli's APM solution that make it a market leader and highly desirable is that, first of all, we created a highly scalable solution. So for customers small that want to grow large or large customers that want to get larger, it is integrated, and we'll spend some time on integration in the next couple of charts, and heterogeneous. So we're not focused on any one particular, one platform in particular, but we aim to cover the broadest spectrum of application types, of infrastructure types, and so on and so forth. As you well know, it comes through, and most of all, it's simple, and we aim to make it simpler. From a branding perspective, some of our customers get confused, but it really comes under all of these names, ITM, ITCAM, and OmegaMon. As you well know or might know, they're all built on the same technology, so they all share the same enterprise, Tivoli Enterprise Portal, which is our UI to the world. They share the Tivoli Data Warehouse, which is the application performance management database. All of the performance data gets captured and put into the same database. There's a common reporting engine that is shared by all of them, enabling customers to create customized reports. And capacity planning, again, built into the system through analysis of the data that's in the data warehouse and enabling them to predict future performance and do capacity planning. All of these help our customers with the whole APM lifecycle, from sensing issues to isolating issues, diagnosing them, and finally optimizing the performance of the applications. I'm on chart six right now. We spend a lot of our time and effort in integration, in making sure that the solutions that we deliver are well integrated and they leverage each other to the greatest degree. Some of the scenarios are here. So some of the simple things like raising events and alerts from ITM, ITCAM, and OmegaMon into NetCool Omnibus. Relaying performance and availability data into a dashboard like TBSM, and in turn having a launch in context from there. Some other interesting scenarios that have been enabled recently, from a discovery perspective, we all know Tatum and CCMDB does that job, but there's a level of discovery, especially from a transaction topology perspective, that's built into ITCAM that can now be exported into Tatum and CCMDB, and that can be used to automatically generate a business service model in TBSM and derive the topology from relationships and components discovered dynamically at runtime by ITCAM. There's also a level of discovery that's recently enabled from Tatum into ITM, where Tatum can leverage an existing ITM agent for discovery. So it can run a script on an ITM agent, asking them to discover what's on the box and get that data back into CCMDB. That's a scenario that we found helps a bunch of customers for issues that they have around firewalls and agentless discovery that is done by Tatum. And sometimes those firewalls cannot be penetrated through agentless technology. You actually have to have an agent on the other side that you communicate with. So that's one of the advantages there. Page seven, and this might help you with positioning the value of these solutions to your customers. We commissioned Forrester Consulting to do a business case analysis of of the financial impact of Tivoli's application performance management solution, so ITM, ITCAM, or Megamon, on a particular customer. The customer they picked was CIB Bank, and you see some of the results here. Huge ROI, 91% ROI, with a break-even point in 1.1 years. They saw a present value of $1.75 million, and the costs were $900,000. And the benefits, again, listed here in terms of reduction number of system outages, decreased resolution time for problems and events, and improved operational efficiency. There is the full report that you can get it from Forrester. I think it may be available to you as business partners. We can clarify that at the end. And it's a recent one from December 2009. Get it and use it with your customers. The next couple of pages, a bit of an update on some of the newer things we've done with our base technology with ITM. And let me start on page 8 with the awareness that ITM out of the box supports both agent-based as well as agentless technology. I think that some of our messaging from earlier on may lead our customers to believe we're primarily agent-based, and it's true that a lot of our customers implement agents for ITM, but agentless is also available, fully supported. It's been there for a long time, nothing really new here. But as you may compete against some of our other competitors that come primarily as an agentless solution, we need to make sure that our customers fully understand that we fully support agentless monitoring out of the box, and it's integrated with agent-based technology. So as they find the need to do agent technologies for the reasons mentioned here, they can start doing that on a common platform. They can mix and match. They can migrate from one to the other, and they have full control over what they do versus some of the other solutions in the market, which are either or, and a lot of them are just agentless without an option to go agent-based. Going on page 9, a new dimension added here, and that is most of our agents, actually all of our agents up until recently, have been connected agents. We didn't make the distinction because that's all there was. A connected agent is always in touch with the ITM infrastructure. All the data gets put in the data warehouse. There's a high resiliency factor, and it's centrally managed and configured. Autonomous agent is something we introduced in the last version in 6.2.2, and this enables a lighter weight monitoring, but still agent-based, which means that for scenarios where customers only need events and alerts, so more like fault-based management, that may be a more appropriate solution. The interesting part is that even though the slide makes you believe that you can go either connected or autonomous, in reality, you can configure the autonomous agent to actually collect more performance data if you need to. Right now, it is not the data collected by autonomous agents does not end up in the data warehouse. In the future, it will. But the value proposition here is that you can actually have agents that communicate directly to Omnibus without those events flowing at all through the ITM infrastructure. So events and alerts can go to Omnibus or to some other event management system. And the agents can also exist independently of the ITM infrastructure, so you can just deploy agents without having to do, a TEMS or data warehouse and so on. But that's something new. Also new, page 10, we added the ability to do more granular data collection from the data warehouse, which means you can fine-tune what you can collect at the agent level and then relay that into the data warehouse. That improves both the space used in the warehouse as well as the efficiency and the nimbleness of the agent, because instead of collecting a whole bunch of information that you don't need and then discarding it later, you don't even collect it, and if you don't need it, of course. So you have more parameters of configuration here. Chart 11, around visual baselining. This is a new capability that allows one to model situations and attributes against historical data, so you can more accurately figure out when a situation will fire. And this is especially useful for complicated situations that look at many attributes and they're hard to understand when they would fire, what percentage of the time they would be applicable. So being able to do this visually, running it against existing data would be very useful. There's also capabilities here to create potential thresholds and to automatically generate situations. With that, I will pass it to Marvin to take us through from chart 12 onwards for a little while. Marvin?
Thanks, Adrian. So we've seen Adrian's slides on the service availability and performance management pyramid, heard about the disciplines involved in APM, and some of the cool things that our monitoring solutions do in pursuit of that. So let's step back for just a second and talk about the actual pain points that our customers feel. How does application performance management touch them in their daily lives? Well, they've got to know what they have before they do anything, right? So they need to be able to discover the components of their IT infrastructure in order to manage them. And once they know what they've got, they need to know what those things do, of course. So they need to know how their applications are supporting their business. Availability is important, sure. The lights need to be on, but it doesn't stop there. End user experience is critical. Service that sort of works but frustrates users is going to be quickly abandoned in favor of a competing service. So when something does go wrong, what's the most important thing? Well, getting it fixed, I suppose. And in order to fix it quickly and correctly, you need to be able to diagnose it with speed and accuracy. It doesn't do any good to add gas to a car when it has flat tires. So this is why companies need availability solutions. We all get that. A dynamic infrastructure with great management tools helps improve service, reduce cost, and manage risk. But we also recognize that solutions with this much power can be complex, and they may represent a daunting financial commitment for some companies. So we've come up with some new ideas. Let's go to slide 13. Let's talk for a minute about the mid-market. Whether you think of it as the SMB market or general business, the fact is there's a lot of companies lurking somewhere below the size of the enterprise customers that we traditionally target. There probably aren't as many target customers in the mid-market as we have in the enterprise now, but there are lots and lots and lots of them, so there should be. And these companies are innovating. They're building amazing things. They're solving critical problems, and often they're joining together to solve bigger problems. What these companies really need is the same sort of service management that our enterprise customers need. They may not have the IT budget that some enterprises have, but their services are just as important to their bottom line, perhaps even more so. If you look on the chart here, you see that IDC pegs the mid-market application management market at $1.2 billion this year, and Service Desk isn't far behind. Now, we can solve a lot of people's problems and generate a lot of revenue for us and our partners if we can figure out a way to take our powerful enterprise-proven software and bundle and package it into solutions that smaller IT departments can get quickly deployed with perhaps a smaller capital outlay. And we think we've done that. Let's go to the next slide. On slide 14, let me present Tivoli's solution for mid-market monitoring. Three products, three radically different delivery mechanisms, three different price points, one pedigree. Tivoli Foundation's Application Manager is a turnkey appliance built on the Lotus Foundations platform. It features a pre-built Tivoli monitoring installation, including the management server, portal server, reporting engine, and data warehouse. Features a new user-friendly launchpad into common tasks. The appliance is designed to be dropped into an environment, discover resources, and start reporting on its health within hours. Targeted at our smallest environments, the TFAM appliance scales to monitor up to 150 servers, and it's capable of monitoring the most common operating systems as well as a broad array of apps and middleware, including Microsoft applications and databases too, like Oracle, DB2, SQL Server. This self-contained appliance features various self-monitoring capabilities among its onboard functions, and it allows users to purchase additional ITM licenses to monitor specialized resources that aren't included in the bundle. Future releases are set to include lightweight network monitoring. It's a theme you're going to hear about with all the appliances, improved integrations, and additional application support. In the middle column there, Tivoli Live Monitoring Services is a SaaS offering. Delivers Tivoli monitoring technology, again, this time via IBM's Global Technology Services over the Internet via a subscription pricing model. Targeted at environments featuring 25 to 500 monitored resources, TLMS we call it, it also promises very fast time to value since IBM does all the infrastructure setup work. There's no management servers to buy and maintain, no daunting software license fees, and because the infrastructure is hosted at our facilities, even a lower electric bill in the customer's data center. Device monitoring is done either agentlessly, as Adrian described earlier, or touchless, as we call it in Tivoli Live, or via agents that can be sprinkled onto mission-critical systems for more detailed analysis. In addition to operating system monitoring, TLMS can monitor popular business apps like SAP and Domino, as well as web servers and databases. Advanced data analysis, this is sort of chewing on the monitoring data to look at capacity planning and other things, is also available as an add-on service. And again, future releases are scheduled to include lightweight network monitoring. Finally, we have Tivoli Monitoring for Microsoft Apps. That's not a new product, and you're familiar with it. It's the little brother of ITM, we call it. It's built on a full-fledged ITM infrastructure and features the best of Tivoli's Microsoft monitoring technology and agents, including Windows operating systems and Microsoft apps like Exchange, SQL Server, SharePoint, and so on. It also features an attractive price point designed to be, in this case, competitive against Microsoft's monitoring pricing. And there is no limit on the number of servers you can monitor. And customers have all of the powerful integrations that you saw on Adrian's earlier chart, Omnibus, Tatum, TBSM, etc., as well as the ability to purchase full ITM licenses to monitor non-Microsoft products and just bring that right into the infrastructure. The roadmap for 2010 includes a lot of powerful new features, including integrated discovery, which customers have clamored for, again, lightweight network monitoring, and integration with the Microsoft Knowledge Base. So there is a connecting thread between these three different vehicles, if you haven't figured that out. And that's it. They all share the same DNA. It's IBM Tivoli monitoring infrastructure. And in fact, beyond the infrastructure, it's the user interface. It's the TEPS and Tivoli Common Reporting that we're all familiar with. That allows customers to grow from one solution to another without having to retrain their staff. And in fact, it makes it possible for companies to easily find skilled Tivoli monitoring administrators to run the solution no matter which one they purchase. Let's move to slide 15. This slide breaks down the three solutions a bit further, and we're not going to go through every detail on it and get bogged down. I just noticed that we cleverly changed the order of the columns from the previous slide, so make sure you look at the heading when you study this slide. I do want to point out a couple of things that you want to take away here. First is the scope of our offerings in each delivery mechanism. With our on-premise software, so in this case ITM for Microsoft Apps, you've got full end-to-end service management story. And this, you know, Tivoli story since day one. On the appliance front, the scope is much more limited. We've got infrastructure monitoring and service desk with the application manager and service manager appliances, respectively. software group does have an active and emerging appliance program. So additional management appliances are, as we speak, being discussed, planned, duked out, and so on. SaaS is our newest delivery mechanism, Tivoli Live, having just been announced at the end of last year. So monitoring represents really the debut of what people call the SaaSification of the Tivoli portfolio. Again, Service Desk may be the next logical step here too, but we would love to hear your suggestions. I think my email address will be shown later in the presentation, so it's mgoodman@us.ibm.com. So if you have thoughts on parts of the portfolio that you think should be a priority to deliver via SaaS, love to hear about that. Meanwhile, before we leave this slide, let's talk a little bit about customizability, which is kind of a buzzword. It's about halfway down the list here. One kind of common complaint that we hear about packaged appliance solutions or SaaS solutions is that the user doesn't have deployment flexibility, right? And these are the arguments that vendors make who only sell on-premise software and don't have a SaaS or appliance solution. And we will have to admit that we've made those arguments too when we didn't have these offerings because the deployment has already been done. And it hasn't necessarily been done the way that the customer might want to do it themselves. And this is even more pronounced with SaaS because the customer doesn't even have the installation resident in their data center. And those are valid considerations. No denying that. But if you consider that one of the biggest inhibitors to typical management software adoption, besides price maybe, is the complexity and the time it takes to deploy. These are powerful, flexible solutions, and deployments can take a really long time. And the market has demanded simpler solutions that are quicker to deploy. So we think that a certain amount of restricted choice in the infrastructure is a reasonable price to pay for that time-to-value improvement. And besides, on customization, what users really need from customization is the ability to customize the user interface. They want views for their teams, for their subject matter experts. They want the ability to change thresholds or to have them change dynamically for their unique circumstances. They really want the ability to customize reports. And all of these things are included in any of these solutions, again, because they all share DNA. So let's go to slide 16. And we've got three slides in a row here that are just going to kind of position the target markets of these three solutions we've talked about. You've seen how they're delivered. So let's talk about the factors that influence the target markets. First, we have the on-premise solution. In this case, it's ITM for Microsoft Apps. Not surprisingly, it's aimed at the biggest customers in the mid-market. In fact, we've sold a lot of ITM for Microsoft Apps at enterprise customers, where those customers have large investments in Microsoft products. And despite, you know, maybe being heterogeneous across IT, a lot of companies have dedicated Microsoft IT administration teams. So they have Microsoft shops within their IT shop. In those cases, this is a great fit for them, because sometimes they're buying separately and making their own decisions. We like that because this product sells there and they like it. We like it even better because it integrates with our full ITM heterogeneous solution. So we see that an initial purchase in ITM for Microsoft Apps often becomes part of a larger Tivoli Service Manager deployment. And so there the flexibility of an on-premise solution is essential. On slide 17, our monitoring appliances have a significantly different typical customer profile, where limited IT staffs create the need for turnkey solutions. Customers with between 100 and 1,000 employees generally fit this model, typically 25 to 50 servers running mostly Windows and Linux. The scale limit for the appliance here is 150 servers, which sometimes we limit things with T's and C's in our licenses, and that's done here, but this isn't, in this case, just an arbitrary licensing mandate. It's really a realistic limit on the number of resources you can monitor with the management server. And that's because the appliance has the management server, the portal server, the data warehouse, all packaged together on a single box. And it's a big demand for resources, and if you try to scale beyond 150, you end up kind of bogging down the servers themselves. Finally, on slide 18, we get to the SaaS option. These customers have so far proven to be larger than appliance customers, with an average of 150 to 250 servers and a mix of OS, operating system, and application monitoring needs. In this case, we've decided to limit customers to 500 monitored resources, not because we couldn't build a deployment mechanism that would scale larger, but because of practical constraints on the hosting mechanism. Early engagements have shown the solution to be appealing, actually, in limited enterprise deployments, which is, not surprising, but in what we've seen is that departments and branches and satellite offices and so on are looking at this to give Tivoli monitoring a try. Essentially, it's a long-term POC for a potential on-premise deployment down the road. So they may have a little bit of subscription money available, don't have the capital, or being really, really capital or really, really careful with their capital in terms of making big decisions. So if we can offer them something that gives them a really good, satisfying, safe-feeling POC, it's proven to be pretty appealing. Let's go to slide 19. This slide gives you a detailed look into how the Tivoli Foundation's Application Manager Appliance, TFAM, how it prices out, kind of by company sizes, which is, it's a little clunky. I mean, really, we're all talking about the number of servers, and it helps to match that to a company size. But if you notice, looking at the chart below, the platform costs here, pretty constant. The price for the Lotus Foundation's operating system doesn't change across the sizes. The server to run the monitoring payload on, so this is the box, the physical box that the appliance is dropped onto, it goes up a little bit as you buy a beefier box for a larger deployment, but not much. Because the solution is sold with a PVU pricing that our larger customers are familiar with, anyone who's sold in that space can easily see how the price goes up as the number of monitored servers goes up. Slide 20 is a little easier to understand. This is a kind of a high-level comparison of the price points for each of these solutions. To make this comparison, I ran the prices for 100 quad-core servers with a one-year view. You see that the on-premise solution is the most expensive, where upfront license costs are incurred. The appliance is the next cheapest option, where the same number of PVUs are in play, but the price per PVU is a little bit lower because there's a narrower breadth of features. So the PVU price for ITM for Microsoft Apps and TFAM are a little bit different. The two SaaS prices for agents and agentless, or touchless as we described it, they appear to be quite a bit lower initially, and that's because of their pretty aggressive subscription prices. But you have to remember that those prices are going to stay the same in years 2 and 3 of a 3-year deal, while on-premise customers would only be paying maintenance at that point. So we're going to wrap up here on slide 21. So before we summarize what we learned about Tivoli's mid-market alternative delivery monitoring solutions, let's talk a little bit about what's next. What have we learned about this space, and what do we still need to improve on? Well, we've learned that making standalone solutions with non-standard kind of specialized technology doesn't make sense, either for our customers or for our tight R&D budgets. We can't develop the same solution 3 times. We can't afford it. And so that's why these 3 offerings are all built on the ITM infrastructure. It allows us essentially to improve all of the solutions at once. And that means that partners that are interested in the solutions also don't have 3 different sets of technology to learn and learn how to explain. We've also learned that these suites need to be broader in scope. If they're going to serve as an essential monitoring product for general business customers, That realization is what's behind our development priority to add things that I've talked about, like integrated discovery, network monitoring to all three offerings. And that breadth of scope is going to continue to influence our requirements gathering process as well. Once again, a place where your feedback your feedback is critical. And finally, we recognize that we're playing a different game here. We're competing against different players, such as low-cost, open-source solutions. And we still have some things to learn about pricing in this space and channel building. We certainly have the technology. We're now building the delivery vehicles. We just need to figure out how to make them successful in this market. So, quick summary. What are we building? You see the bullet points here. Flexible, configurable service options. Deploy only what you need. Affordable versions of enterprise-class technology. Very different pricing and payment options to fit any budget. And again, it's IBM-proven technology delivering what you need when you need it. And these are secure. They all feature our secure, easy-to-use, consistent across all three products web interface. With that, that kind of wraps up our alternative delivery plans. I'm going to hand it back over to Adrian on slide 22 to talk about some of the upcoming features in the base product. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Marvin. So, hey, guys, we're back on slide 22, and the next series of slide is sort of a rapid-fire futures discussion. As Brad told you at the beginning, these are sort of our intended plans. They might change. You'll also not see here any sort of date commitments from me. If we need to have that discussion, we can do it under a non-disclosure agreement. So for ITM, some of the directions we're taking the ITM-based product is towards improving and increasing its ability to manage large-scale environments. So in that category, we're looking at self-describing agents, looking at how do we create an administration which is policy-based, as well as balancing that with management at the agent level. Federation of multiple installations at UI. So if you need to manage very large environments, it may or may not be feasible to have one set of ITM infrastructures, if you will, but perhaps you need to have a way to federate across multiple TEPs and bring everything together, especially in a situation where customers may be geographically dispersed. Also, a feature that's been quite requested, that's a scheduling service, which would allow one to designate maintenance times where you may want to ignore or classify differently alerts from a system that's under maintenance. Under security, we're looking at enabling role-based access control. So with that also comes increased granularity and the definition of those roles kind of coming out of the box. So the fact that they would be coming out of the box doesn't mean that they're not configurable, but more of a way to deliver and create roles quickly and giving our customers a template to do that. You'll see a continued advance in the predictive analytics. So as you may know, today we took a product that used to be separate, ITPA, and it's now part of ITM. So all of the dynamic thresholding and capacity planning and so on that were part of ITPA are now part of base ITM, and with that, part of all the products that are based on ITM. So that's as of 6.2.1. Sorry, 6.2.2. More work around granular data warehousing that you'll see, as well as serviceability, platform currency, and TIP exploitation. So some of these may not surprise you at all. We haven't talked much about TIP, but what you'll see is not an evolution away from TEP, but also adding TIP screens enabled into base ITM to be able to relay that information as needed into the products that, that use primarily a TIP interface. So tightening the link there. If we go on page 23, ITCAM for applications. So as you may know, this is the broadest offering that we have with a large variety of agents across multiple application types. And as you'd expect here, the roadmap consists primarily of either looking at new agents or updating existing agents. So there are some performance and scale enhancements for WebSphere and HTTP servers, basically inheriting some of the work done in ITCAM for WebSphere and relaying them in this product. Some new functionality primarily around message broker and MQ, so supporting the file transfer edition, as well as providing enterprise message search and PubSub configuration support for WebSphere MQ. Some updates to database support, so adding 64-bit for Oracle as well as on DB2, DataGuard support, high availability for DB2, and some new informants, and the ability to also monitor informants databases. And then a slew of enhancements and updates to agents for monitoring various packaged applications like Siebel PeopleSoft. We plan to add monitoring for same time, continue to improve domino monitoring, SAP, and so on. Going to the next one, ITCAM for Microsoft applications, which is, as Marvin said before, so the cousin of ITCAM for applications. And we're looking at a solid roadmap here as well. So from built-in discovery to adding a level of lightweight network monitoring, integration to IBM Director. And by the way, there's a, if we need to have the discussion in terms of what we do from a monitoring perspective with IBM SDG Director, we can have that as a separate discussion. There's a great level of workload integration and go-to-market synergy that we're doing there. But in any case, there's some of it being reflected here. Microsoft Technic integration as well as Stata. We're always going to see work in most of these products around consumability and platform currency, and there's no exception here. And of course, we'll look at adding some new application support like Microsoft Host Integration Server and Internet Security Acceleration Server. The next chart on ITCAM for transactions really deals with releases that are already in the market, so I won't spend much time here since I really wanted to have more of a futures discussion. But I wanted to point out that we recently came out with version 7.2 here for transactions and some interesting features. And, of course, you'd expect tracking domain extensions. But some of the things that are sort of hidden under here are, first of all, support for RFT8 and also screen capture and failure, which has been a request that we had for a while. But when a transaction fails, we now capture the screen on that failed transaction, store it, and then you can see it later on. We actually added the ability to do user tracking, so you can look at what transactions, for example, Adrian is driving and monitor those, as well as session tracking, which means transactions that that are part of a session. There may be multiple URLs, but they're all part of the same session. So those are some of the very interesting features that we have in 7.2. As we go forward, so on page 26, you'll see the ability to start doing agentless transaction tracking. So right now we are agent-based. We want to look at agentless transaction tracking, expanding on our .NET tracking support. We already have .NET tracking. We'll see an expansion there. Some JDBC exception handling. We're looking at adding script catcher and failure on WRT, so that's the real end user component that monitors real user transactions, so capture those screens over there as well. Also, multi-URL transaction support for WRT, more protocol support, and additional integration and domain support. Page 27. We've done something significant for ITCAM for WebSphere and ITCAM for J2EE at the end of the year, and that was we combined those two offerings into a new one called ITCAM for Application Diagnostics. So if you're looking for what happened to ITCAM for WebSphere or J2EE, they're all combined together under something called ITCAM for Application Diagnostics. In addition to the packaging that we have done, or repackaging, we've also added support for WebSphere version 7, WebSphere VE, and a bunch of integration. Again, due to feedback from customers and some of the difficulties we had there, we worked tremendously reducing the footprint and the resource consumption and a whole bunch of usability improvements. For customers that in the past may not have had a pleasant experience with ITCAM for WebSphere and J2EE, ITCAM for Application Diagnostics is a whole new ballgame. So if you have customers that perhaps it didn't quite work out well in the past, and I know there's some of the reputation still flying around there, this is not your daddy's, if you want, ICAM for WebSphere. The feedback from the customers that have adopted 7.1, both in beta and in real production, has been tremendously positive. Very quick time to value, quick installation. The UI is streamlined, so I cannot emphasize enough the work that the team has done here in terms of reducing the footprint, increasing the performance, and making the product a lot more usable. As we go forward on page 28, what you'll see is we plan to expand the coverage here beyond just Java apps, so beyond just WebSphere and the J2E servers. I won't go into details there, but you can probably guess at some of the things we're doing. in addition to that, we'll expand to more WebSphere servers as well as more J2E apps, or JEE app servers. Full virtualization support, so the ability to monitor in a cloud and in virtual environments and really understand the characteristics of virtualized WebSphere environments. We do support that today to some degree, but there's more work that we need to do there. We also want to get rid of the old management server and have it fully integrated into the ITM infrastructure, and we'll continue with usability and deployment updates here. Lastly, on page 29, from a virtual server's perspective, there are a number of updates and currency support planned from Power Systems to VMware, KVM, Xen, Hyper-V, and ZVM. There is a visualization dashboard being planned that would be tip-based, where we'll bring all of the virtualized resources together on one dashboard in tip. Also adding visualization for VM control, TPM and TPC, as well as TATA. And there's a level of work done around server consolidation and workload optimization, so giving our customers automated recommendations for consolidating servers, placing workloads, and configuring those issues, as well as optimizing resource and energy. And again, we're creating a desktop, so we're also addressing desktop virtualization for desktop brokers like VMware and Citrix, and that's all for our futures. With that, I think we're at the end of the charts. We have few minutes left for questions, so operator, can you please open the lines for questions?
Certainly. If you'd like to ask a question, please dial star then one. have one question from Mike Todd. Your line is open.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate the presentation today. I have a question for you about consolidating this information. It has to do with any ideas around a time-based correlation out of TBSM or Omnibus. As an event comes in through the infrastructure, like IPMs monitoring something, and then we get a transaction performance, we're finding it's hard to correlate those two together, or the history, bringing them together to one view. Any ideas along those? Any thoughts along that?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of the time-based correlation of events, a lot of that is being done at the level of either Omnibus or Impact, right, where they will look at the events coming within a certain time frame and try to figure out what's the sort of a causal event versus events that have happened in the past. The other aspect of this from a performance management perspective, so less of an eventing but more of a performance management perspective, you can today with ITM look at a time aligned view of performance data that's getting pulled from the data warehouse. So you can actually see that on the screen. You can create a view that is time aligned for a variety of resources that are interesting. And that by the way can include transaction tracking data.
Okay. We run into competitive situations where our presentation of that, you know, we say, oh, we got to write rules, and they're like, what? You know, so I was looking for a little more built into the higher level functionality of the UI, where you could say this is a bad event, and here's all the things that happen within this window in the UI, kind of like a snapshot view, you know, not just correlated. I don't know. Maybe I'm not explaining it right, but I understood what you're saying.
Yep.
One thing that you can do, not all the way there, but the new TEP views, the ability to create time slices in the TEP and grab different metrics. So any metric that's in the TEP from any of the situations could be assembled together into a custom time slice view so that you could look at, for example, four different things. You could look at WAS response time. You could look at the CPU metric from another machine, a network metric, and a database metric. And it's manual because you have to decide what you want to look at, but you can overlay a time slice view in the TEP of multiple things that you're monitoring.
Okay, thank you. I have just one more comment. I know your other monitoring solution is probably .NET, and I would stress that that's a competitive disadvantage to us pretty significantly right now. So I'll just say that. Thank you.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please dial star then one. And I have no additional questions at this time.
Okay. Well, this is Brad again. If you do have some questions as you kind of digest, I know we threw a lot out there today. We want it to be comprehensive, but allow you the chance to come back to us too. So if you do have follow-on questions or thoughts, please reach out to me and I'll get it to the right person on the team. But otherwise, thanks very much for your time and good selling in Q2 and beyond.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may disconnect at this time.